This is Sonia Corbett with Pursuing the Summit, reminding you to get your Catholic vitamin every week on Catholic Vitamins.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, everyone. It is Deacon Tom once again. And once again, the lovely Dee, the lovely and charming Dee, is not here. God willing, she's only a few days away from returning to our community. Her mom passed away a week ago, and Dee had to go back to Pennsylvania. We were just back there some number of weeks ago to visit family and visit mom, Dee's mother, and things were pretty good for mom at that time, but you know, at 98 years of age, things can change fairly quickly, and they did. And mom passed away peacefully, and she had a wonderful life. We've talked about that, I think, on the last show. And so Dee was back for the funeral. I was still recovering from a little bit of head and chest congestion, but all things will be well, and we pray that Dee's return will be safe. We are doing Catholic Vitamins. This is Catholic Vitamin. Let's see. I'm looking at our big book, which has so many entries in it. So this is show number 374. This is Catholic Vitamin G for gazing. Gazing, like looking. And I'll explain a little bit about that in a few moments. And on KPIH, it will be show number 20. For those of you who are listening for the first time to Catholic Vitamins, when I said KPIH, I'm referring to our local North Central Arizona radio station, which we started a few years ago, RIM Catholic Radio at 98.9. So welcome everybody to Catholic Vitamins. We're very blessed to be able to do this show, and we have not a great number, but we have followers all around the world who like some of the stories and the people that we bring to them. And, you know, when you think about show being 374 times that we've done this, we've had some amazing bishops, priests, deacons, nuns, singers, actresses. So we've just had a wide range of people that have come to visit on the show. And today's show is a wonderful opportunity to meet someone new. Her name is Kristen Brown. Kristen Brown. She's a photographic artist, a fine art photographer, who does live portrayal of people from quite a while ago, in some cases thousands of years ago. The Holy Family, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph and the Child Jesus, but also some other saints. We'll get into all of that when we do the interview, and I'll come back to why we have chosen her as a guest for this vitamin of G for gazing. So the first segment that we always do is called Prattle. And so I have a number of little notes to help me remember a few things to talk about. One is that we're doing the coffee and tea fundraiser for KPIH Catholic Radio. And if you have found us on the World Wide Web, by us, I mean Catholic Vitamins, you can go to our website, which is www.kpihradio.com, and you can find some awesome coffees and teas that are for sale there. There's decaf coffee, of course. There's some good blend coffee, some light or medium coffee, and there's some flavored coffees. There's some really original tea flavors as well. And each bag of coffee or box of tea adds a little bit to our Catholic radio station funds, and it sure helps us. And we thank our dear friend Candy Bridges, who's sort of our web mistress, and she's the one that sort of moderates the coffee and tea sale. Well, we're going to be doing that in our parish. So if you're in North Central Arizona and you come to Mass on Saturday or Sunday next week, that would be, let's see, the 9th or 10th, I believe, if my quick date structure is correct. Yeah, after the 4 o'clock Mass and after the 9 and 11 Masses, coffee is for sale. You can pick up coffee and put it on your charge card, or you could pay cash or with a check. And as I say, a small portion of that goes to help KPIH. Well, it is Lent. I hope your Lent is progressing well. And mine has had a few little stumbles, but the thing that has helped me to get back on course was attending the parish penance service. I'm recording this the day after, I'm starting the recording of this, the day after our penance service, and it was at 6 o'clock last evening in the church. There was probably 6 to 8 priests from what they call the vicariate, and we had maybe 100 people from our community who decided that they wanted to make confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, a part of their Lenten journey. So it seemed like it was a little bit of an extra weight last night because I got behind about 10 people, but I had a wonderful opportunity for confession. I'm so grateful to the priests. I'm grateful to the Lord Jesus for the gift of the forgiveness of my sins. And I did a small penance, and then I was able to attend Mass this morning and feel like my Lenten journey is picked up and I'm back on the path. I'll be back in just a few moments.
Torn apart due to a lack of real love, catechists and those who work in ministry have a challenging mission on their hands. But if God has called you to ministry, you have nothing to fear. The Holy Spirit is with you and is already working to bring about the unity and love for which our world desperately longs. Come be renewed this summer at the St. John Bosco Conference on the beautiful campus of Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, alongside other religious educators and ministers, and get ready for the Holy Spirit to pour out His love into your heart in ways that you could never imagine. You will also receive training led by some of the best Catholic educators in the church today. To learn more about the St. John Bosco Conference and other great opportunities to grow in your love for Jesus, please visit steubenvilleconferences.com, and please continue to support the new evangelization here on the Voice of Catholic Truth, 98.9 KPIH, RIM Catholic Radio.
Well, there are two voices for the price of one from Steubenville, Ohio, the beautiful music of Alicia Hernan. I'll put a link to her face page on our show page for this Catholic Vitamins show. Alicia Hernan has a wonderful album. She's a delightful wife, mother, and singer and worship leader. She's been a guest many years ago. I think it was back in 2011. So, 7 years ago, she was on Catholic Vitamins. You can still find the show if you are interested in hearing about her life. I remember that we interviewed her about 2 months after she had given birth to a new child, thanks be to God. And I was a little bit worried about taking her away from all of her children. And she said, "Are you kidding me?" She says, "I'm up in my bedroom. I'm on my bed. It's peaceful and quiet. It's just you and me." She said, "It's wonderful." So there you go, Alicia Hernan. And then we had a short promo announcement from John Bulio, one of the VPs at Franciscan University, in charge of the summer conference programs. And he did a little promo, which is oriented towards our Catholic radio station, KPIH 98.9. But I wanted to include it in our web program so that people around the world can hear what's going on at Franciscan and perhaps pray about attending one of the wonderful conferences. All right. Well, without any further ado, it is time for our special guest, and we'll bring that nice interview up with her, and we'll see you on the other side. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I am with Kristen Brown. If she is a new name to you, Kristen is a lady that I would like you to get to know, through her wonderful work. She is the fine art portrait photographer who is on the currently on the East Coast, who has developed what's called the Saints Project. Now, she may have been involved in a lot of other photographic work, but I discovered her when I stumbled onto the Saints Project, and we'll get into what that is in a moment or two. Kristen, you said that the weather is terrible in Philadelphia. My heart is warm to welcome you to Catholic Vitamins. Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be mentally in Arizona right now.
There you go. There you go. Well, Kristen, before we get into your beautiful talent and work, I want to find out who Kristen was as a young person. Where were you born, raised, and was there faith in your life in the early years?
I was born in a little suburb of Philadelphia, and there wasn't a lot of faith growing up. We were kind of the cafeteria Catholics, you know, some people call that. We would go to church sometimes, definitely Christmas and Easter, but there wasn't a daily faith throughout my life until I was in high school, actually. And my sister, I have an older sister, she discovered Lifeteam, and she started to go to Lifeteam through our high school. And I was very reluctant to get involved because it just seemed a little scary to me. I was very comfortable being the kind of person that I was, and it was definitely reaching outside of my comfort zone. But I eventually did go, and it was absolutely life-changing. So.
Awesome. Wonderful. Gosh, so glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And many of the guests that we've had over the last 7+ years have told experiences of youth events that they've attended one way or another, which have been, matter of fact, Kristen, just as a side note, not to talk about us too long, but the first show that we ever did was Catholic Vitamin A for Adoration, and we had a priest who had a powerful conversion at a Steubenville youth event, changing him from being a drinking, physical-oriented young teen into a man who decided to study for the priesthood and was ordained. And we interviewed him, I think it was 64 hours after he was ordained. So it was a real gift to talk to him about his journey. All right, well.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, let's get back to your journey. So were you always fiddling around with cameras? How did this thing with photography get started?
You know what, I kind of was. As far back as I can remember, I don't know, being like maybe 6 or something, back then, it was mostly just film, nothing digital even came out yet. And my dad was into photography a little bit, so he had the little point-and-shoot camera. I would steal it from him and load the film and waste all of his film. But, you know, without my parents, though, taking pictures of, like, my dog, and just because there was something about it that I connected to. And so I did that for a long time until eventually I think my mom bought me a little point-and-shoot digital camera when those came out. But I definitely didn't think that it was something that people did for a living or did in any kind of like real creative way. It was just something fun that I did for most of my life until I was probably in my 20s.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah.
So I read someplace that you went out to California. Was that part of your sort of vision of what you want to do, go take pictures or shoot video out there, you know, do movies?
Not really. I went out there not with photography on my mind at all. But as I was living out there and making friends, everybody needed pictures. And I did have a nice camera. My dad eventually bought me for my birthday, my first DSLR. And so people would see this nice camera and they would think, oh, she must know how to use it or she can take good pictures. And so I ended up taking a ton of headshots for people over time. And I feel like that's where I really learned most of the kind of the art of photography and technical things. And so that's really when I started to think that it might be something that I could pursue a little bit more. I learned that out there.
All right. So I read, and I'd like to ask you to share a little bit about this effort that you were contacted by the World Meeting of Families to create some custom banners. How big were they, and what did you do?
Oh, goodness. They were 8 feet tall. They were 8 feet long banners. There were eight of them. And what happened was I had just started doing Saints Project work. I had the idea for the Saints Project, and I thought, I don't think there's anybody else who ever did this concept, so I'm going to try it. And I think I had only done two portraits at the time, and they were planning the World Meeting of Families during this time, and the person who was planning the youth portion was hoping to find eight very cohesive images of Our Lady from different places in the world to hang in there for all of the kids. And she couldn't find anything, and she came across these two portraits that I did, and she asked me if I could make these banners for the World Meeting of Families. And I was really overwhelmed by that idea. It sounded like something I was not ready for at all, but I kept feeling that God, you know, he calls people who are willing, you know, to do something, and not necessarily those who aren't really qualified to do them. He qualifies you to do it. And so I did them, and they turned out pretty good. You know, you always look back and think of when you grow, you can have done something a little better. But it was an amazing experience and a really exciting thing.
Wow. Maybe this is maybe I should know the answer before asking the question. But was this a commission project where you actually paid for this?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful. And how did you go about? I'll use the word printing because I don't know how did you create the banners?
I actually, thank goodness, didn't have the responsibility of actually making them, like printing them. I just gave them the files after I took the pictures and edited them and made them to their specifications.
Okay.
I sent the files to the director and they printed them on, I don't know, it was some sort of like canvas material.
Sure.
And they looked really amazing. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Gosh.
So thank God that wasn't my problem. I would not have known what to do.
All right. So what I gleaned as you were talking about this this commission project was that you had already started mm-hmm. the Saints Project. And let's ask, what was your vision for the Saints Project? I mean, did you have a fixed number that you wanted to do or only certain, I'll use the word saints, but what was your idea for the Saints Project?
I think the original idea was just like a modern portrayal of Catholic saints, was sort of the tagline that I kept imagining. And so the first saint that sort of sparked this like kind of vision that I had was Saint Sebastian. I just felt in my mind a real person portraying the saint, except that the actual finished product would look very classic and traditional and more like have like a painterly look to it. And so, yeah, there was really never a set idea in my mind of which saints. I kind of take them one at a time, you know, when I feel really inspired by a certain saint, or sometimes I'll meet a person and feel like there's some connection to them that to a saint that I had heard of before, and I really want to portray that person as that saint. And so, yeah, there isn't a set thing in my mind. As I've gone along, it's been 2 or so years now that I've been doing it. I started doing little tiny projects within the saints project. I did, like, the Holy Family and a couple of images of Mary that felt like they were their own thing. And then I started working on the 12 Apostles, which I have a few more of those to do. So other than that, there is no real, like, long-term plan or anything.
Mm. Well, you mentioned the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Family, and I think there, if I remember, mm-hmm. I've seen 3 different Holy Family images. But then, you know, there's some that are new to me or names that I'm not familiar with, St. Mary of Edessa and St. Germain.
Yeah.
What? How did those come about for you, those other ones, the latter ones that I mentioned?
I think through unfollow on social media, I get some emails of like with the saint of the day and things like that. And sometimes if it's a saint that I had never heard of, I want to find out who they were. So I would look into their life and things. And with that was what happened with Saint Germain. It was her feast day. It came up on my phone, and I was interested because I had never heard of her before. And so I started to read about her story and I just became really intrigued, and I fell in love with her whole, you know, everything that happened to her, and I really wanted to portray her. And I knew, of course, as soon as I started reading her story, I knew exactly who I wanted for the portrait. And so that's kind of a good indication of, like, I feel like the Holy Spirit telling me that it's a good thing to do, that saint. And St. Mary of Edessa was similar. I think it was, like, Bishop Barron or something had posted on his thing, you know, something about St. Mary of Edessa, and I never heard of her either. And so that's usually what happens, is someone else will say something, or I'll get an email from the Daily Saint, and if I don't know who they are, then I usually want to find out.
Has there ever been a saint in your mind that you wanted to do, and then you had to find the person for it, go searching for the person?
Yeah, that is what happened, actually, with the girl who portrays Our Lady. I had done the images for the World Meeting of Families, but I didn't actually own those images, so I couldn't use them for myself. I couldn't post them anywhere or, you know, make holy cards or sell prints to people or anything like that. And so I really wanted to do Our Lady again, kind of the way that I wanted, because they had a lot of strict specifications the way they wanted the images done. And so I was sort of keeping my ear to the ground for a new Mary, and I found the girl's name is Maria Cahill, and I found her on YouTube, actually.
Wow.
And she was a Catholic speaker, and when I saw her talk, I thought, oh, wow, that's exactly who I would want to portray Mary. So, yeah.
So you make an outreach to somebody and say, I'd like to photograph
you. Yeah, I know.
Gosh.
I actually sat on the idea for like 4 months because I just felt like it was a really bizarre thing to reach out and do. Like, I was nervous. but eventually I felt like, you know, what's the worst that she could say is no, that's weird, I don't want to do that. So I reached out to her, she had like her own website, she was a speaker, and I sent her a couple of images I did. I told her about the World Meeting of Families, and I asked if she was interested, and thankfully, she agreed. She said, yeah, and we met up several times after that over the course of a year and a half, I think, to shoot a bunch of different images. And they probably are some of my favorite ones, because I just feel like it was a really a Holy Spirit-driven connection, I think, there, because she was a beautifully holy young girl, and she made those images really, really wonderful, I think.
Oh, they are beautiful, very, very touching, and I've had a new experience of Mary in my own life. Coincidentally, dear wife Dee and I went to Fatima and Lourdes as part of a pilgrimage just months ago, and renewed and intensified my love of. And so your pictures are the work that you've done is just very inviting and beautiful. There's just so many adjectives that I would like to use in describing your work. I did look at some of the reviews, and there, you know, people have said some wonderful things amazing beauty.
Yeah.
And never seen anything like this. And I'm sure that that's all gratifying to you. You mentioned the saints, you mentioned the apostles. Who have you done for the apostles and who's left?
I've done several. I went out to California last March, actually, just around this time last year. And I shot a bunch of fellows out there because I saw one guy on Facebook who was like a mutual friend. And so was the internet these days. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's John the Beloved. And no one else can be John the Beloved but this guy. And so with that, it was sort of like a snowball effect. I had St. Andrew. I had St. Matthew. And so I think I did Bartholomew. I have John, James the Greater. So I think I have like four left that I still have to finish. But I'm looking forward to it. I just have to find great people for it.
My first name is Tom. Have you done Thomas yet?
No, haven't done Thomas yet.
Well, I would.
Are you free?
No, I'm the last one. But I have I have a lot of his flaws. So I hope you capture both his good and his other characteristics. And I'll promise an order once you've got Thomas done. Well, talking about orders, I know that you have a shop on Etsy. Tell us a little bit about that and what you offer there at the shop.
Okay. The shop name is Kristen Brown Photo, and I sell almost all of the prints, all of the things that I've made. There's popular ones that most people like, and then there's a little bit more obscure. So most of them are on there, and I usually offer them in a 5x7 and an 11x14. But people have ordered all different sizes, and I try to send little holy cards and things like that come with it because, you know, it's nice to get to do something a little extra, especially if it's a holy card. You know, who doesn't want that? So it's been really good.
Wonderful, wonderful. And
you're
adding to your shop over time, I'm guessing, with new material as you produce it?
Usually when there's an image that is finished, within the next few days, I usually add it to the shop, so relatively quickly afterwards.
Okay, and I sort of have deduced from what you've said that if somebody had a custom project, I happen to have a couple, you know, that are close to my heart and part of my prayer life. If I had a saint or a venerable or something, you'd consider a custom project?
Like to make the image?
Yes.
Sometimes I do, but it is a little difficult. It works usually two ways. If somebody wants, like some churches will ask and they'll want like the rights to it so that I can't sell it. Those are a little bit more complicated. But usually when someone is like, oh, I really love this saint, can you do that saint? I have so many that I want to do. I try to get everybody, you know, that wants that particular saint. But it takes some time, you know. It might take me 6 months or a year, you know, to get the ones that are requested.
Sure.
Because a lot of it is just waiting to find the right person. You know, it has to feel like it's meant kind of to be or like a right connection with someone. So I have a few coming up soon that were requested, like Elizabeth Ann Peyton and Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, and a few other ones.
Anybody ever mention Padre Pio?
Yeah, Padre Pio, I did do an image of Padre Pio. It was a younger version of him, but I had seen an actual picture of Padre Pio once, and it was so, like, compelling to me that I wanted to kind of, like, show honor in that way and do the same sort of thing. But a lot of people might not recognize him because he's not standard version of Padre Pio being kind of older. Mm-hmm. He looks a little bit young, but
I'll plant one other seed, perhaps for the future. Just plant a seed, and that's Venerable Solanus Casey from up in.
Oh, yeah.
Do You know of him?
I would love to. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a special one in my heart. And I was born and raised on the east side of Detroit, not very far. And I'm convinced that my mom, who thought that there was no hope for me at all, probably visited him and prayed with him for her son, Tom. So I've had devotion to him for quite a while.
Wow.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that some other time in the future, perhaps. Our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been a delightful, talented, beautiful artist, fine art portrait photographer, Kristen Brown. And once again, your website is?
My website is thesaintsproject.org.
Saintsproject.org. And if someone has heard something today that they want to reach out to you, do you want to give some contact information, or could they do that through that website?
Yeah, through the website. You can. There's a contact. My email is on there, and all the pictures and everything you would need to see or need to know.
Very good. Well, Kristen, we have worked a little bit to try to make this come together and happen, and I'm very blessed. Mm-hmm. I know that it's a blessing for our listeners, wherever they may be, and I hope that they will follow through and follow your work and perhaps contribute to your success. Blessings very, very much. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you so much.
Those that listen to Catholic Vitamins podcasts over time probably have deduced that Deacon Tom has been known to be tender, sometimes quite tender, when looking at things of the world that others may just smile at or not pay too much attention to. When I see a sweet and cherub-like infant or a young couple joyously in love, I gaze at these sometimes and think of the beauty that they offer to us if we take the moment to look at them. And that's why we chose this time with Kristen Brown for our Catholic Vitamin G of Gazing. So I invite you to go to her website, take a look at the beautiful images that she has created in her fine art photography. And I thank her for coming on Catholic Vitamins. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that we're working to bring Catholic Answers, the worldwide audio apostolate of the Catholic.com website. And we are very blessed in that we took a cruise some time ago, and I was able to record the story of the founding of the Catholic Answers, which is, you know, the conglomerate that has become by now. And we were with Carl Keating. So as a special treat on this Catholic Vitamins, let me replay the story of the founding of Catholic Answers.
We were blessed when we began. We got permission straight away from our then current bishop, that was three bishops ago, to use the word Catholic. And Catholic Answers is listed in the National Catholic Directory under the Diocese of San Diego, not as an arm of the diocese, but as an approved institution. Many of you I know have heard my little story about how things began. You can put your heads down for a moment and rest if you wish. I'll walk you through it. Pat's heard it so many times. Yeah, you live somewhere. One day, it was 1979, I think. And I say I think because the incident was so inconsequential that I didn't make a notation of it. I came out of Mass one Sunday to find flyers on the windshields of the cars in the parking lot at Mass. and they were anti-Catholic flyers. They were against the priesthood and against the Eucharist. And they were made and printed and distributed by a Protestant fundamentalist church just a mile away. It was then housed at what had once been a movie theater. And I was incensed at what I saw. Others were too. No one seemed inclined to do anything about it, so I thought I would. So I went home and I wrote a counter tract. Now, this is before the PC, so I wrote on a Selectric typewriter. And I had it, my little tract, photo reduced so I could fit more words on a page. And I tried to put on one piece of paper on two sides the whole corpus of Catholic thought. I almost did it. The type was very small. And I made my tract. Now, it was my intention to distribute my tract at that church. I needed to have some authority, a sense of authority associated with the tract. So I made up the name of an organization. No sense of putting my name down. Nobody knew who I was or would care. So here I was, a Catholic, giving answers. So I said, I'll call the group Catholic Answers. And I wasn't about to put my home address down. I could imagine what my wife would say if I came home one day and she said there were a horde of fundamentalists knocking at the door in my absence. So I rented a P.O. box. And then I folded up my flyers and I placed them on the windshields of the cars in that church's parking lot one Sunday. And the only image I still have is being across the street right after the service ended and watching what would happen. And the people came out, and first their deacons or elders came out, and they saw what had happened, and they started plucking my tract off the windshield, but they weren't fast enough before other folks got out and got to their cars and saw them. I said, okay, fine, my good deed is done, and I forgot about it. I went back home. And then I thought a few days later, well, I may as well go look at the P.O. box. Maybe somebody has responded to me. And I got there, and the box was stuffed with letters. And oddly, now, you know, most of them from members of this church, but some of them from Catholics. And I don't know how they found the flyers. And the Catholics said, this is good stuff. Send us your catalog. And I wrote back, said, thank you, but everything's out of print. So I started to write more tracts. And I wrote 6 at first. And they were well received. And I doubled that, and I doubled that, and I doubled that. I ended up with 48 tracts. And that was mostly Catholic Answers for the better part of a decade. And then eventually I realized more could come from this. A newsletter came from it. And then not long after that, I finagled 2 of my friends, one of whom is on my left, to join me working full-time at Catholic Answers. And that was the first week of January 1988. And I gave up my law practice. Pat gave up working for the CIA, which is almost true. Yeah. And then we had a third friend who's now passed away. But the three of us got the organization going as a full-time endeavor. But that was how it began. Very much something backed into, not planned out at all. It still has a lot of that feeling now. But I'm surrounded by a wonderful staff that well more than makes up for my deficiency. So a number of you have been very kind. You come up to me already on the cruise and said, you're doing such great work, and I have to each time correct you, say, no, Chris and Maureen and the other staff members are doing great work. I get to sit back in my office and just take the credit for it.
I'd like to add one note to that. In tribute to Carl's foresight, I recall it must have been 91-ish, something like that, 1991, let's say, 92 perhaps, and we were having our regular Tuesday staff meeting, and I worked at Catholic Answers for those first 8 years of the full-time.
It's version. Wednesdays now.
Is it Wednesday? Yeah. Okay. See, I leave and everything falls apart. But Carl came into the meeting, and he said, you need to know about this new thing that's coming called the Internet. And there is, and he was trying to describe it to us. And I remember sitting there baffled. I couldn't figure out what he meant by how you could do things online. I didn't understand any of it. I don't think any of us did. I believe Maureen was there for that meeting. And he said, I realized that there will be a scramble for domain names. I didn't know what that meant either. And he said, so I've taken the step of applying for or requesting the name Catholic, Catholic.com. And it's unknown whether we'll get it. It's kind of a, it was a timestamp type issue, right, where the earliest person to get it would get it. And so he said, if we were the first one to request it, then we'll get Catholic.com. And I think at the time, all of us thought, well, big deal. What does that mean? I mean, you know, we don't even know what the internet is. And this is at least a couple of years before the advent of the internet as we know it today. And had it not been for Carl's foresight, who knows who would have had Catholic.com?
Maybe the Vatican would.
Maybe they might.
That's right.
They might have approached
it.
They're better dressed than what they've got. I mean, Vatican.Virginia? I mean, that makes no sense.
And we're not selling.
I get requests almost every week from somebody, you know, someone honest, but yeah, we'll give you hundreds of thousands. I write back, you don't have enough millions. No, but, I mean, not that we, obviously we don't make millions from it, but we don't want it to get into anybody's hands anyway. So, okay. Anyway, that was basically the way the organization began.
Well, there you have the short version of how Catholic Answers got started. Their website now, of course, as Carl Keating said, is Catholic.com. And you heard the voice of Patrick Madrid, who was one of the first ones to join Carl Keating in this new venture. I hope you were able to listen closely enough to know that it was a instantaneous response, I believe, to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit, that led Carl Keating to want to do something when he found under his windshield wiper a tract against the Catholic Church put out by a local Protestant church of some denomination. And so he put together a one-page, two-sided overview of all the Catholic teaching that he could put into that one page. He rented a P.O. box, and eventually the tracts that he put out through this Catholic Answers was, I guess, numbered at 48, if I remember what he said. And then they were able to get the website domain, Catholic.com. I could just imagine one of the popes, probably John Paul II. What do you mean somebody has Catholic.com? We are Catholic.com. But Carl Keating has it, and they do a wonderful amount of work now for the church. I have been on the website just recently looking at all that they're doing, and, you know, they're on YouTube, and they're on with 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live every day, Monday through Friday. They're going on TV, and they have a print division. So I hope you will do some work to draw you closer to the work of Catholic Answers. And speaking of good things to be involved in, we are involved in the friendship with our correspondent, Sandy Greggs, who is in Pennsylvania. Sandy, as we have said before, and we just do this for any new listeners who have found our podcast or our show, Sandy Greggs was a resident in our community here in Arizona. She moved back east. And after a few years of being back east, she was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She eventually lost her speaking voice, but she now uses a computerized device to synthesize her voice. And from time to time, she shares reflections for Catholic Vitamins. We're very blessed to have her. Here's her contribution for this show.
I think that many of us take sin too lightly. We think that comparing our sins with others lessens their effect. It's erroneously thought by some that God rates our sins on a curve. Of course, there are some sins that are less egregious than others, but I have a sense that God sees all of them the same. Have you ever been in the basement when the lights went out? It's a scary feeling. You're afraid to move. Your imagination runs wild. That's what happens when we sin. Darkness enters our souls, and we become anxious and we lose our peace. Sin can be compared to an addiction. The more time we spend doing either one, the more we need. Our appetites become insatiable with both. There's no such thing as being kind of a junkie or kind of a sinner. Both have destroyed individuals and families. And both have been responsible for the loss of countless souls. You probably think that I'm laying this on too thick, but sin is real and we need to avoid it. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 reminds us to be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We need to discipline ourselves before it's too late. In a world where nuclear weapons exist, school shootings are happening at an accelerated rate and babies are aborted like yesterday's news, we need to rein in our sin. Your sin affects me. And my sin affects you. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve, we see this. They lived in a lush garden. They were free. They were innocent. And best of all, they walked with God. Satan convinced them that there was nothing wrong with eating the forbidden fruit. You won't really die. You'll be just like God. He chided. And so they disobeyed God. That's when shame and fear entered in. They were expelled from the garden and their lives were changed forever. They learned suffering, heartache, illness, and death. And sadly, they no longer walked with God. We don't have what it takes to live sinless lives, but Scripture tells us that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We need to believe this and thank God that He has shown us this truth. That He is the truth that will lead us out of the darkness into the everlasting light.
Draw me, O King, I will follow you eagerly. Draw me, O King, to your rooms. The love that you give is sweeter than wine. How rightly you are loved. How rightly you are loved. Draw me, O King, I will follow you eagerly. Draw me, O King, to your rooms. The love that you give is sweeter than wine. How rightly you are loved. How rightly you are loved. wine. How rightly you are loved. How rightly you are loved.
When you need a heartfelt gift for a loved one, friend, or coworker, ChristianGiftsAndHomeDecor.com is the online store to shop. Christian Gifts and Home Decor has lots of items for the home, office, and holidays. Keepsakes that inspire, motivate, and confirm the Christian faith. Owner of ChristianGiftsAndHomeDecor.com, Candy Bridges, has been in business for over 30 years. She takes pride in offering customers gifts of faith, framed art, and framed calligraphy. See the selections of decorative crosses, quotes from saints, coffee and tea, and inspirational coffee mugs. Lasting gifts for wedding, confirmation, baptism, sympathy, and so much more can all be found at www.ChristianGiftsAndHomeDecor.com. Get 10% off when you enter the coupon code KPIH during checkout. In addition, when your order totals $100 or more, you will receive free shipping. Convenient shopping on your schedule without leaving home. ChristianGiftsAndHomeDecor.com.
Well, there you have my lovely wife, Dee, giving a little underwriting promotional announcement about Christian Gifts and Decor, one of the underwriters of KPIH, Rim Catholic Radio. And by way of the work that we do on that radio station, it's also our joy to share a message about Candy Bridges' little business. Gosh, she's been in this a long time, to share words about this on the World Wide Web. You can order gifts. We have many, many gifts in our home, many things that we've bought and ordered, and she has just a wonderful site. So please go to visit her website and thank her for supporting the voice of Catholic radio in our community and for underwriting Catholic Vitamins. All right. Well, it's time for Hot Off the Presses, and I have a little bit of a problem to share with you. Yikes. I was just sitting down with a fresh mug of coffee, and I accidentally allowed the coffee mug to splash a bit. And so the first book that we have, which is free for one of our listeners, is by Danielle Bean. And the book is titled, You're Worth It. Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You. Published recently by Beacon Press. And Daniel Bean was here in the Phoenix area recently for the Phoenix Catholic Women's Conference, and we obtained a copy of her new book, You're Worth It. Unfortunately, it's got a little bit of coffee staining at the upper corner. It's still free, still quite readable, but I apologize for my little error. We have another small booklet called Winter of the Heart, Finding Your Way Through the Mystery of Grief by Paula Darcy, and we would be happy to send that to you if you send in your contact information by email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our radio studio hotline 928-363-4144 and leave contact information in either your email or the phone call. The one other thing we have is a sealed new copy of Defending the Eucharist, You Are What You Eat, by Steve Ray. We enjoy so much our relationship with Steve Ray, a Catholic author, speaker, and pilgrimage guide. We just got a note from him recently about his next pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Gosh, do some of us want to visit the Holy Land with Steve and his wife? All right, well, that's it for this semi-final segment. I'll be back.
to be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue, but it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
Well, we've got time for just a little bit of feedback before we end this Catholic Vitamins. I may have mentioned to you that some of us were down in the Phoenix Valley area praying in front of a Planned Parenthood in Glendale. I had a nice email from a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins, Lisa Blevins, who said, thank you for joining me in prayer at the Glendale Planned Parenthood. It's always good to see you. And I do pray everything went smoothly regarding Dee's mother's funeral. Yes, thank you for your thoughts. And we're hoping that Lisa and her family will come up to visit us sometime. And we heard from Margot B. Smith. Thank you for sharing my music on your Vitamin E Elated podcast. I enjoyed listening to Lorelei's story. I think I heard you say that you've been doing Catholic Vitamins for 8 years. That's wonderful. The Lord has touched many lives through your podcast ministry. I hope you will continue for many more years to come. Love in Christ, Margot. Well, thank you, Margot. As you can tell by my voice, I'm running out of steam for this show, so I'm going to do a wrap, and we will look forward to having the lovely Dee back on our next show. This was Catholic Vitamin G for Gazing. I hope you'll gaze on some holy or sacred images during the remaining time in Lent. We'll look forward to seeing you next week on Catholic Vitamins. It'll be Catholic Vitamin H. Catholic Vitamin H, 11 letters, starts with the letter H and ends with the letter S. Take a guess. Send your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Thank you very much for sticking with my fading voice this afternoon, but we'll be back with a little more strength after we take some Catholic vitamins and nourishment, and we'll close with a little bit of music from Alicia Hernan. Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.